Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day that you've given to us. We thank you for the blessings, blessings that go beyond measures, blessings that we often take for granted. And Lord, most importantly, we just pray that our hearts and minds would be open to what you have for us this morning from your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I believe we've come to a point in our world where we've gotten lazy. We've forgotten how to make a plan. How many of you remember the days before GPS? When you made a road trip, you better have a plan. You know, right now I don't even have to type it into my phone. I can speak it and I can tell it where I want to go, and it shows up on a screen in my car and gives me directions. And if I want something to eat, I can add a stop, and it adds a stop and takes me to the restaurant I want to go to. I remember back when we first started traveling as a married couple, it didn't work that way. You know, anybody remember the atlases? We used to have State Farm for insurance. Every year you got the new atlas, and you'd plan your route. You'd plan where you were going to stay. And how many of us have forgotten that you had to plan for a hotel? Right? You didn't just look it up on your phone and make a reservation on the way. In fact, I was thinking about that as I was preparing. I was like, how did we do that? How did we figure out where the hotel was in Chattanooga? You know, you had to look up in the yellow pages or something, because there was no internet. It's just, but in some ways, the technology of today's world has made us lazy when it comes to planning. I mean, financial plans, there's plans, there's programs that will do that for you, and so forth. And even in fitness, we have apps that you plug in calories and exercise and all that thing, and it does it for you. And somehow it's made us lazy and we've forgotten. In some ways, I think the same is true when it comes to our spiritual lives. We don't make plans. You know, we don't consider, okay, how am I going to grow in my faith? What am I going to do this year different that's going to draw me closer to Christ, is going to help me grow in my faith and become more like Christ? And you know, today as we look at our study in the book of Romans, and as really we're wrapping up our study in the book of Romans, we see and gain some insight from Paul when it comes to making plans for our future. If you turn in your Bibles this morning to Romans chapter 15, we're going to be looking at verses 22 through 33 as we finish out the chapter. And last week we looked at some truths as we were listening to Paul's example as he winds down as to how God has worked through him, how Paul would say phrases like, I will not speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. And now as we continue on, and Paul talks about his future plans. Paul desires to come and visit the church at Rome. And we're going to see some of this as we work our way through this passage this morning. And one of the first truths we see this morning is that it's okay to have a plan. It's okay to make a plan. You know, I have been around a few men who would say, you don't need to plan out anything. I even know of a few preachers who didn't take time to write a sermon. They would get up, they'd open up their Bibles, and they would say, we let the Spirit lead where the Spirit goes. I will tell you, I do write a sermon. I will tell you the Spirit does lead, because I have yet to preach a sermon to my notes. I always say something I didn't plan, like right now. And I always miss things that I did plan. So the Spirit still works, but I think it's wise to have a plan. And some people will even go to James chapter 4, where it says, instead we ought to say if the Lord wills. And so we just focus on God's will and we don't need to plan anything. Well, as we follow the example of Paul, as he's concluding, as he speaks about himself, as he writes about his ministry, we see that it's okay to have a plan. You follow along as we look at verses 22 through 24 in your Bibles, if you're there with me this morning. We read the following. As Paul says, for this reason, I also have been much hindered from coming to you. But now, no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you, whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. You know, our passage begins, for this reason. What was the reason Paul's talking about? And if you remember what we talked about last week, Paul is, before he left, was focusing on preaching the gospel where Christ had not been proclaimed before. And he said, it's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ was not heard. And so he's doing this. He doesn't want to build on someone else's foundation. And now he's come to the point we see in these verses. He says, for this reason, because there were places that needed to hear the gospel message, I've been hindered from coming to you. But he says, but there's no longer any place in these regions for me to preach. Therefore, I have a plan. And my plan is to go to Spain. And when I go to Spain, I'm going to visit you on the way. And so here he has this plan. And I think Paul's excited. He is anticipating. He wants to see this church. And if you remember, as we've been going through the book of Romans, this is one of the churches Paul has never visited. The church was planted by someone else, and Paul is writing to them, but he's never visited this church personally. And Paul now, and it's interesting, he says, there's no more place for me to work in these regions. But one of the things I think we need to understand, this doesn't mean that Paul has preached the gospel to every possible person in those regions. What I do believe it means is that Paul feels that he has planted churches that can continue the work on in those regions and spread the gospel message. So he's confident in those churches' ability to carry out what he had started, and he has the confidence that he can leave. And, you know, that was one of the things he said even last week as he's writing to the church, right? He says, I am confident that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge, and able to teach one another. And so Paul's got this confidence. There's no more place for them to work in these regions. So he's like, my plan is to go to Spain, but I'm going to stop and visit you on the way. And we see in here, Paul actually drops a pretty significant hint to the church of Rome. If you notice in there, we read the words, that you may help me. Paul's expecting a little financial help from the church of Rome in order for him to be able to get to Spain. It's interesting, as I look at this pattern in Paul's life, it's very similar to how missionaries function today. They feel God's calling them lives. Often they will get some training. They will find a mission agency. And then what do? They go from church to church raising support to help them get to the mission field. And in a sense, that's what Paul's doing here. And within his plan, and this is something that, although I don't have it in the notes this morning, we should remember, within Paul's plan, there's an element of faith here. He is planning to go to Spain, but he doesn't have the resources to get there. Because he's saying, listen, one of the purposes for stopping in Rome is he's going to enjoy their company for a while, but he's hoping to pick up a little bit of money that will get him to his destination. And so he has this plan in place. And folks, I have to tell you, I think when it comes to spiritual matters, we need to have a plan. Otherwise, we're just kind of going whichever way the wind blows. And in order to do that, really, we need to evaluate where we are. Where are we spiritually? What are we struggling with today? What are you struggling with today? And we already kind of know that where we need to be, because our example is Christ. We're to strive to be Christ-like. And so we need to figure out, what steps can I take? What can I plan in my life? What can you plan for the year of 2025 that will get you closer to being like Christ than you are now? But if we never make that plan, I can tell you what, you're probably not going to make it. You're going to be like my wife and I were one time when we're driving home from Florida back to Indiana and didn't have a plan for a hotel. We didn't find a hotel. And we drove all the way home. You know, and that wasn't what we desired. That wasn't what we wanted. It got us where we wanted to go, but we were whooped, we were tired, and it wasn't pleasant. But it's important to have a plan, and it's okay to have a plan. But as we continue on, we're going to see that we need to make sure that our plans don't interfere with previous commitments. And as we look on and as we continue on, we read the following in verses 25 through 28. As Paul will say, but now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. It pleased them indeed, and they are and are their debtors, for the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things. Their duty is to also to minister them in material things. Therefore, when I have performed this and have sealed to them this fruit, I shall go by way of you to Spain. One of the things we see is Paul has had a desire to go to Rome. We saw it in chapter 1, but he said he's been hindered from doing so. We see he still has that desire there, but he has a previous commitment. If you study the book of Acts, as we're doing on Wednesday night, one of the things we're going to see is Paul would be taking up a collection for the saints in Jerusalem, for the poor in Jerusalem, and we see that even here in this passage here. And we see his hindrance from coming to Rome back in Romans chapter 1 as we read, "Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as I've had among the other Gentiles." So again, we see the desires there. Paul wants to go. I think he's excited about the thought of being in Rome. But he says, I've got something I've got to do first. I've got to go to Jerusalem. And we see that he's taking up this collection. We actually read it about in 1 Corinthians. And he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me." So here we see Paul's plan. He's having the churches in Galatia and the church in Corinth. They're taking up this collection. He says, "And listen, I don't want to get there and see you throwing money in a pot. I want you to get have that taken care of when I arrive. And then we're going to make our way to Jerusalem with this gift." And we see that he wants to go also. It's part of his plan to go to Jerusalem. It's a commitment that he has made. I do want to pause for a moment here. I think there's some significance. One of the things Paul says here is we see him say that Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make the contribution. And then he goes on and says, you know what? They owe it to Jerusalem. Why? Because they have received spiritual blessings. They owe it to the Jews in return to give them material blessings. And sometimes I've always said this, I'm amazed at how God works, because Carmen touched base on this very thing this morning. Folks, that is still true for you and I today. We need to be supporters of the nation of Israel. You know what? We have received a spiritual blessing from the nation of Israel, and that spiritual blessing came through Abraham, which ended up coming through Jesus Christ. What was God's promise to Abraham? "And through all nations will be blessed through you." Folks, as we sit here this morning as believers in Jesus Christ, we have been blessed through the nation of Israel, specifically blessed through the seed of Abraham. And I believe we need to pay attention. We need to be supporters of Israel. We need to vote for those in our country who will support the nation of Israel. One of the reasons I believe America is what it is today is because we have supported Israel. Because part of God's promise to Abraham also was, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you." And so it's important to remember that and keep that in mind. And Paul places an emphasis on this as he writes here to the church in Rome. But as we get back, we see that that Paul is as eager as he is to go to Rome, he keeps his commitment to go to Jerusalem. He feels his work in the region is complete, but he has to take care of this before he goes. You know, I think there's times we need to be careful of that too, as we make commitments in life, as we make spiritual commitments, that we don't get excited about something else and forget about the commitments we've made. It wasn't that long ago, something came up. We just got back from the cruise and something came up, and I was trying to rearrange some things in the schedule, and I thought I had found a date, and so I'm like, "Yes, let's do it here and let's do it then." And I kind of announced it to some friends, and they said, "No, we got plans." I'm like, "Oh yeah, we do." And so now I've got to shuffle some more. But I think about this. Some of you in this church, and it's been a great thing to see as I have challenged people at the beginning of the year. Okay, let's take God's word seriously this year. Let's be studying it. Let's be reading it. And to see some of you take that commitment on, some of you to pledge that you're going to do it, and to see groups come together and hold each other accountable and be sharing what they're learning back and forth. It's been a great pleasure to see. But I pray that as you have entered into this commitment, that you don't allow plan, you protect that time. And when you get eager to do something else, you remember, no, I'm committed to this. And I'm thankful as I look out here this morning, I see some people here who are committed to worshiping on Sunday morning. Most of you I see week after week, and I've even heard in conversations in the past that someone will say, hey, can you come and do this on such and such a day? And they're like, no, we got to go to church that day. And it's like, woo-hoo, I love to hear that. Because that's a commitment they've made that they're guarding and they're watching over. And even as other things may come along that they want to do, they keep that commitment. And as we make plans, we have to guard those times and those commitments that we've made. And I believe really Paul has done that. He's headed to Jerusalem. He's headed there, and we're going to see as we continue on this morning, he's headed there even though he knows trouble awaits. But we also need, I think as we make plans, we need to make sure that there's a spiritual emphasis. You know, as we read verse 29, we read the following. But I know that when I come to you, I shall come in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. If Paul's anticipating this visit, he's anticipating that this plan will take place, and he's going to make it there. And he's like, when I get there, I know it's going to be by the full measure of the blessing of Christ. And if you look in your Bibles, as I read from the New King James this morning, we see the gospel is inserted there. In your other translations, you're not going to see the word gospel. Really, what is gospel? It's the good news. But we also see that word, the fullness. I think what Paul is recognizing here, as we've already seen in chapter 15, is he says, I don't want to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me. Paul recognizes that if he actually makes it to Rome, it's going to be through the hand of God. It's going to be through the work of Christ in his life. He's not capable of getting there on his own. And so I think Paul acknowledges that everything that he accomplishes, everything that takes place in his life is really a blessing from God. You know, folks, when you think about that in the life of Paul, and from the moment he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior on the road to Damascus, things got ugly for him. He was beaten. He was shipwrecked. He was hungry. He was stoned and left for dead. The list can go on and on of things that happened to Paul. And yet, when Philippians, he can do what? He can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He recognized that his accomplishments were a result of God's work through him. And I think that's kind of the emphasis being made here, the fullness of the blessing of Christ. You know, folks, often when we start our evening services, I start out, what are ways that God's blessed you in the past few days? And usually we'll get two or three people who hesitate to speak up. I've often said, someday I pray that you will shock me and we will get nothing done in the hour but talk about God's blessings in our lives. You know, the reality is, regardless of our circumstances, we are blessed. As believers in Jesus Christ, we are blessed even when it's 40 degrees in Florida. We are blessed when we're under the weather. We're blessed when unexpected bills come our way. We're blessed because we have been saved from our sins. We are blessed because we serve a risen Savior. We are blessed because we have a living hope. Do you believe that this morning, church? And I think when we make plans, we need to realize if our plans are true, if we're more like Christ in January 1st, 2026 than we are today, that is a result of the blessings of Jesus Christ in our life. Because without Jesus and without the work of the Holy Spirit, we are not able to accomplish anything when it comes to spiritual matters. And it says He works in us and He works through us that we will become more like Christ. We will be used by God to minister to others. And the reality is there will be times when our plans just don't work out. And often it's easy to get discouraged. But it says we focus on those blessings. I believe that we will be able to say, as Paul would say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Next few verses, we're going to see the importance of prayer. As we read verses 30 and 31, Paul continues on and says, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service in Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints. I don't know if you're catching just the, really, Paul is pleading. He is begging. He is asking. You kind of see it in the wording here. Please pray for me. By the love of by Jesus Christ and the love of the Spirit, please pray for me. Pray that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea. Right? These people despise Paul. They want him dead. And listen to what we read in Acts chapter 20, because this is Paul has this now. I mean, right now, as Paul writes the book of Romans, he knows what we're reading here in the book of Acts. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Yet he is willing to keep his commitment. He is willing to go to Jerusalem, knowing that this is true. And he knows this as he writes the book of Romans. And so he's urging the church, please pray for me. Church, I hope you understand we cannot underestimate the power of prayer. We need to be praying for one another. We need to be willing to share our requests, willing to admit that we have guilts and struggles and sins in our lives, and pray for one another. And folks, as I preached to you this morning, I really needed to preach this to myself this past week. I shared with a few people. When it came to this passage, for some reason, it was a struggle. I'm like, how am I going to preach this passage? And I wrestled and worked and tossed and turned. And what I should have been done is reaching out to some people and I say, hey, can you pray for me? This isn't going so well this week. And I think about the significance of that. And I am thankful for men in my life who have been there to say, hey, how can I pray for you specifically? And we need to be there and doing that for each one another, but we also need to be like Paul. And when we have made spiritual plans and we've decided things that we need to do to become more like Christ, we need to involve others, people, and asking them to pray for us. But I think one of the reasons we do this is we don't want to inconvenience anyone, or we don't want to look weak to someone else. But folks, when we do this, we underestimate the power that prayer can have in our lives. The next thing we see here this morning is probably maybe one of the most difficult when it comes to plans, and that we have to trust in God's will, even when it differs from ours. Verse 32, we read that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. It's important to make sure that we don't miss these words that Paul writes here, by the will of God. Paul consistently makes an effort to include this in the letter of Romans. We see it in chapter 1 as he would write the following, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by some means now, at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Paul recognizes that God's will, recognizes the sovereignty of God, and that God's will take place, and that it's more important than his plans. And as he makes plans, he includes that element. And I love how God works, because even through different authors in the Bible, we see this consistency. Right, a few weeks ago, when I was on the cruise, Brother Hinda was here and preached, and he preached from James chapter 4, and he preached from this passage. As we come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. And so we see both Paul and James placing emphasis on if the Lord wills. And folks, I have to tell you, there are times our plans will fail. In fact, Paul's plans to make it to Spain did not take place. He never made it. Now, he did ask for prayer to be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea. God answered that prayer by taking Paul into custody. I don't think that's quite how he thought it was going to go, but he would be taken into custody. And you know what? Paul did make it to Rome in chains as a prisoner. And I love as you look through the writings of Scripture to see, you know what? I mean, as we look at this and we look in Romans, like he has this great plan to go to Spain. He wants to see people in Rome. He's excited about it. And then it all falls apart. You think, wow, that has to be crushing. And then we turn the pages in the Bible to the chapter to the book of Philippians, chapter 1. I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. That it has become evident to the whole palace guard and the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. God had a different plan. And yet Paul was able to accept that in his life. And was able to see, regardless of what he had planned, regardless of the fact that it failed, God still used it for good. And Paul would be in prison in Rome, and it's during that time he would write letters to the churches of Philippi, Colossae, and Ephesus. Letters that we have contained in our Bibles today. And I have to tell you, as I stand before you this morning, it's because God had a different plan than I had. I've shared with you how, maybe even last week, how I felt the call of God's life into my ministry, and the man responsible for that is sitting in with us this morning amongst us. God would work through him to help me understand that calling. But you know, as I went through Bible college and seminary, what training I have, the professors like to throw statistics at you. And you read book. Tom Rainer writes all kinds of books with all kinds of statistics. And one of the statistics that was just pushed, is that churches do best when a pastor stays for 10 years and longer. And actually, a church, statistics say, experiences its greatest growth when a pastor's been there for 10 years. Now, what the shame of this is all the other statistics say that the average tenure of a pastor is 5 years. And so as a student in Bible college and seminary, hearing the statistics, my plan was to go to a church and be in that church until God called me home. Because I thought, why would I want to move on? Even when it gets difficult, I want to be in God's church. I want to be used for him. I want to see the church benefit from me being willing to stay with them. Another thing that was told us, you know, when you go into a community, when you go into church, don't just rent, buy a house. It says you're going to stay around for a while. And we did all that. But after 5 years, God had a different plan. And it was a plan that to be honest, the time was hurtful and probably disappointing, much like it was for Paul to find out that he wasn't going to make it to Spain. But I can tell you this, if it weren't for God's plan, I wouldn't be standing here this morning. I wouldn't know any of you by name. I wouldn't have been able to minister here in this church and have the benefit of being loved by you all and being able to love on you all. And I say with caution, it would be my plan to stand in this pulpit until I'm 90 years old. Only if it's God's will. And folks, that is the mindset we have to have when it comes to our plans. God's will is better than ours. And we see that in Paul. I mean, it didn't go as he planned, but yet he's able to say, I can see that this has turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. And I think this last, what we see in verse 33, goes hand in hand with putting God's will above our own. And as we, it will result in experiencing the peace of God. Paul would say in verse 3, now the God of peace be with you all. Amen. I believe Paul is praying for the church of Rome to experience the peace that he has experienced. You know, we look at the peace of God, and Paul is written about peace, that we have peace with God through reconciliation that took place through Jesus Christ and our faith in Him. Paul encourages the believers to be at peace with other believers and to be at peace with all people in the book of Romans. But I believe here he's talking about an inner peace that we can have when we rest in God's sovereignty and His will for our lives. A peace that we saw from the passage that we read in 1 Philippians. It's important that we seek God in our lives. And that when our plans fall apart, we trust in His will. You know, it's interesting, I hesitated in talking about this morning, but I think it's kind of it's been a neat story to watch unfold this year. If any of you watch football, watch the NFL, if you're a Lions fan, I'm sorry. But not really. I can't think of his first name right now. Their quarterback is a rookie for Washington this year. His last name is Daniels. All throughout his rookie year, when they interview him after a win, he professes Jesus Christ. And what's interesting, I watched the first half of the Lions game because it was last Saturday night, and I have bedtime on Saturday nights. So I didn't see the second half. I didn't get to see the fun part. But as you listen to the guys who are doing the broadcast, and they look at him on the sideline, they're like, does he get anxious about anything? Like, even during the Lions game, I think one of them made the comment, I don't know if it was Tom Brady or who it was, they're like, I think his heart rate's like 50 right now. And that's not a direct quote, but I mean, he just doesn't seem to get rattled. And they were actually interviewing him about this. Why is it you don't get rattled? And again, he professes his faith. And what I think we're seeing in this young quarterback is the peace of God in his life. And it's got people talking. It's kind of cool to watch. And you know what? I think if they lose today's game, we're still going to see that same calmness. I hope they win. I really do. Shake everybody up. I hope they win the Super Bowl. Because it would really be neat to watch. But in the end, what would really be cool about this is God would be the one to receive glory. It may not be played in the replays, but when they interview that young man after the game, my prayer is that he would have the same confidence and stand and give glory and credit to his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, I think when we have that peace, other people see it. When you're going through the storm, a storm in life, and then there's a calmness about you, and I've witnessed this as a pastor. People are dealing with cancer, going through surgeries, not sure if they're going to make it through the surgeries, and yet have a calmness and a peace. It's because they're trusting God through the situation. And I believe that's where Paul was in his life, and I believe that was his prayer for the church of Rome. And folks, I believe that's God's desire for each one of us, is that we experience the peace of God. Folks, I believe there's wisdom in making plans. We've seen Paul had a plan here this morning. I believe there's wisdom in keeping our commitments, and wisdom in striving to obtain the blessings of God, seeing Him work through us. We do need to trust in His sovereignty. We need to trust in His will. And I believe as we do this, we're going to find direction in our lives, direction that will bring us closer to God, a direction that will help us to be more like Christ. A direction that will allow us to have a peace in our lives that others will see and take notice. And I believe it's as we do this, we will see God work through us in some amazing ways. And see lost people reach with the gospel of Christ, see people come to know Jesus as their Savior, see people being baptized, and I sense the excitement that it would bring to this body of believers. I mean, if the angels in heaven are rejoicing, I think there should be some a little bit of rejoicing here as well. And I believe that's God's plan for us. But we need to take the time just to value where we are and steps that we can take to become more like Christ. And as we do this, I believe we will see God's blessing over and over in our lives.